Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mingray Nation Podcast on a Tuesday night in 2017 America. At work today, we had like a long discussion. Like, it was long because it should have been very quick and to the point, like in passing. But it was long about, I don't know, this guy stood up and rants. He's like, we just need to have only one time zone. Like, just like in Australia, if it's 18 o'clock, it's 18 o'clock, man. And I was like, don't you got some work to do, guy? I feel like you should be doing that instead of whatever it is you're doing right now. So I bring that up just to say it's approximately 9 p.m. We're doing this live. It's the second time we've done it live. Not in the history of this podcast, but maybe in this latest incarnation. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. If you listen on the podcast in some delay, it's not live, as you may have imagined, because you can pause and restart it. You know? Magic. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Aldo is with us this evening. How you doing today?
Oh, doing good. Good evening. I've just got my glass of whiskey here, ready to talk some sweet college football.
Sweet college football. So there is such a thing as a moral victory. And you can tell because some, you know, people feel good about our performance against Iowa. And when I look at the box score, it says we lost. It says we lost 31-14. And yet people feel generally good about the situation. And so that tells me that there is such a thing as a moral victory, which makes sense given the human condition. We can pretty much rationalize anything, but you knew that already.
North Texas is probably the national champions of the moral victory conference.
That's spoken like a true Mean Green fan right there. Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, let's talk about it. North Texas played Iowa in Iowa City. Going into it, all I could think about was how Iowa completely and utterly destroyed North Texas a couple seasons ago in what was the glorified homecoming of Dan McCarney, some random staff on the in the AD's office, just people on the team. You know, just like it seems like North Texas was like Iowa South. And that was a little annoying by the end of the week. And I don't know if it had anything to do with how poorly the team played, but they played very terribly. I vividly remember going to a watch party, getting there a little bit late, like as, you know, like the I was already driving, sitting down and just seeing everybody's dejected faces, including the team parent. And he just began to rant later on as we were allowing more of those 62 points to be scored. And it was terrible. It was overall terrible. Bad time in Iowa. So I wanted to get a little taste, that taste out of my mouth with a new taste of losing, I guess. I don't know what I'm saying. What were your expectations coming into this one, besides thinking we were going to win? Because you're crazy.
First of all, I didn't think we were going to win.
Yeah, but, I have it on tape, man. You were like, we're going to win? We take care of Iowa.
So we did kind of take care of Iowa. We exposed some things with our passing, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into Iowa, and I wanted to be able to move the ball, which we did some of the time. The first half, you know, is the tell of two halves. The first half, we were able to move it a little bit. We had some miscues here and there, but we scored twice. But in the second half, we had three possessions, I think.
Yeah, something like
something
that.
Something ridiculous. And, you know, Iowa had the ball for 40 minutes and 45 seconds.
Including 21 minutes in the second half.
Yeah. So North Texas didn't necessarily get an opportunity to score once Iowa started playing Iowa ball. We got Iowa out of their comfort zone. We were 17-14 by the middle of the fourth quarter. With some help from the refs, and you know,
some taking hot takes you got there, man.
I mean, it's a good game plan for other teams like UAB, who's going to be a run first team. And if we take these teams out of their game plan, then they're, you know, out of their comfort zone, uncomfortable, and we can start taking over these games. Yes. Something we were missing last, you know, when we met in 2014.
Yeah. So what we were able to do is, you know, they talked about it in broadcast, and you could see it, and people were tweeting about it. There was a lot of slanting. A lot of attacking. We were basically saying we're going to blow up this zone run. And there are ways to do that, and teams have done it against us when we get our zone run going. I've talked about it previously on the blog, well, written about it. It's slanted. You slant, you know, you basically attack the zone to try to break it up. And you can see that. Darius Hamilton, a couple other guys broke into the backfield, and we got some good penetration in there, right? Giggle, giggle. We got good penetration and blew some things up. And the way you counter that is really you're supposed to counter, you know, run power counter. Like you basically get them going one way and you just run the other way. Iowa didn't really do a whole lot of that. They just kind of said, we're going to continue to run. And it worked. And it was a little insulting. If you look at it, you're like, wow, they really are running it on 4th and 5, or they're going to go for it. You know what I mean? Like they are just lining up and continue to do this, especially in the second half, once they quote unquote got back to their identity, I guess. But they were successful. Iowa's game plan is we're going to run over you and you're not going to be able to stop it. That's what they did. We couldn't stop it. You know, we got close to stopping it. We slowed it down a little bit, but we couldn't stop it. And so that's the bad. That's the very bad of the game. And that's why North Texas lost the game. And the thing is, yeah, that was going to happen, right? When you draw it up, that was the danger. Like, they're going to try to run it against us, and they're really good, and they have good running backs and good linemen, and they're probably going to have some success. So that first half, when we got them out the game like you're talking about, and we were able to score, and we had some luck thanks to the anti-fun refs, and like, oh, he was dancing. No dancing. And the miraculous fumble, which, you know, you will say, hey, good job by North Texas by playing all the way to the 1-inch line, because that was great. Like, if they don't play to the 1-inch line, they don't get that fumble, and they don't, you know, benefit from it. So there's some incentive to do that. Besides that, like you said, we got them on their game in the first half. They were like, holy hell, we should be winning by a lot more. And they should have been. They should have been up about 21-10, but we were up 14-10. And, you know, I'm sure they got chewed out at halftime. Like, come on, you guys got to get the North Texas out there. You're better than them. You know, all that's fine. Second half, they came out and they played that first drive like that was for the game. And for all intents and purposes, by the way, that's how it's said, intents and purposes, not intensive purposes. It's for all you lames out there. For all intents and purposes, they were playing for the game. Because if they didn't score on that one, they would have been crushed. The crowd would have been taken out of it. Everybody would have got restless. You would have heard that murmur in the crowd like, oh, what's happening here, you know? And then, if, you know, say North Texas did something good, everybody would have been freaking out. And who knows what could happen? Maybe a freshman corner is like, I can make a play. And then they try for an interception. They miss it. Jalen Guyton takes it to the house or something crazy like that. You know, anything can happen once. That's the point you want to get to. North Texas got right up to that point, and they couldn't stop them on 4th and 5 because then they said, you know what, we're gonna throw it to our tight end. He's going to shake a tackle. And rumbled into the end zone and hyped the crowd up. Because everybody's like, yes, boom, we exerted our will. 2, look at that amazing play. Look at our tight end. Just, you know, out-muscle everybody out here. And 3, look at us. We are up, you know, right where we're supposed to be. And they got the crowd into it. They got the team into it. Everybody got fired up. They were, like, chest bumping and stuff. And they were in the driver's seat. And, like, they can say, okay, now we're going to rely on our defense and our run game. By the way, those are their strengths, you know? And so that's when the game was lost, I say. That's that drive there. It was super important. That was the game-winning drive, essentially, in the third quarter. And from that point on, as you said, we couldn't score, and we never got the ball back almost, you know?
They kept shoving it down our throats, and we couldn't play the two halves of football that Iowa was able to play.
Yeah. And, I mean, for a rhythm offense, that's terrible. Like, That has a deal, too. If you're sitting there on the sideline the whole time and you rely on rhythm and timing the way an air raid team does, you're not going to be as good. It's a flaw in the system, you know, in the same way that Iowa's flaw is that if they get in a shootout, they're not going to be so good. They're going to be a little uncomfortable. So we got them close to playing the game that they didn't want to play, but, you know, they were able to exert their will. And, you know, that was all expected. Good job, good effort, North Texas. And we move on, I guess. So, any other takeaways? You wanna go in real deep on Iowa? We can. I got Iowa.
Not real deep. My Darden looked good, Wilson looked really good.
Yeah, Jeff Wilson got back making plays. I call him the best player on the team. When I interviewed him at Conference USA Media Days, I was like, dude, you're the best player on the team. How do you feel about that? And he's like, well, you know, my line. I'm nothing without my line. I'm nothing without my quarterback, my friends, my family. Okay, but you're the best player on the team, right? No, I was okay. All right, I tried to get him. But he is the best player on the team. And not to take away from Jalen Guyton, but it's harder to get the ball in Jalen Guyton's hands, like for any receiver, you know? You can scheme out a receiver unless he's Cortland Sutton, and apparently North Texas cannot out scheme, you know, that guy. But you can take Jalen Guyton out the game. Apparently TCU can take out Cortland Sutton. We should look at their plans and say, let's apply those to maybe a good receiver.
Apparently Stephen F. Austin can take out Cortland Sutton.
The Lumberjacks, man, they got it's intimidating. Maybe not as intimidating.
Elite. Yeah.
So it was good to see him break free. And if he's going to have a highlight, yeah, let's do it on ESPN2, when the casuals are watching and, everybody and their mom could get, I saw more GIFs of that game than I saw of any game that North Texas ever played. It's good to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want. That's what we want to be on ESPN2. Yes. Jeff Wilson got away for 41 yards, deked up the Iowa secondary, but that was half of his total essentially. He had 11 other carries for another 41 yards. That was less good.
But at least he was getting carries. In the second half, I don't even know how many carries he got.
I mean,
so
a good portion of the reason.
We've got to keep him in the game.
Yeah, the good portion of the trouble the offense had later on was because they never got the ball. So Darden was good. We really tried to get the ball to Guyton. It felt like Guyton had like a better game, but he only had the one catch. He had one catch for 13 yards and a touchdown. But it felt like he was more involved in the game because we were chucking it to him all game long.
Yeah, but Fine wasn't connecting. He was overthrowing quite a bit. That one dime to Smiley was really pretty, but it was one good one out of four bad ones.
Yes, that is very, very true. I'm trying to think, like, other pass plays that I... This is the problem with not podcasting on Sunday, immediate reaction. I don't have them fresh in my brain. I thought the pass game, despite when you look at the stat line, you're like, that's unimpressive, that stat line you're showing me, guy. And it is, but, again, you have to consider the entire context of the game. I thought the offense was okay. It was better than it was last time we played Iowa. And I think we've seen signs of improvement. The offensive line was infinitely better than it was last season. That's three games in a row where it doesn't look like Mason Fine or whoever is playing quarterback is running for their life. And case in point is the number of times that Mason Fine had to throw deep. Like he was, he had lots of time to throw deep. Previously, if you stop to look up, he's running for his life, and then he's scrambling trying to make a play. Also, the throws on the run that he made were on the money this time. There's one that he threw basically.
Beautiful.
Yeah, back across the defense. I like it. I'm telling you, man, that I felt like that quarterback competition was mostly show. It was just, we have a quarterback competition. It was Mason Fine. So
I don't know. Shanbor's thrown some pretty passes.
I think he's thrown, four passes in total, but he does have a touchdown. He had a ridiculous QB rating because he was 2 for 2 for a touchdown and then a scramble for like 18 yards. The guy, when he plays, he gets his money's worth or his scholarship's worth. Good stuff by
scholarship worth. Yeah, and he would have a 100% completion percentage if it wasn't for Harry Griffin dropping that pass right in the bread basket.
So
I know it's exciting to have two startable quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to put it because I wouldn't love it. And I think somebody tweeted like, "What should we have Shanbor start in the second half?" Look, backups are backups for a reason. Like they lost the competition at one point in time, and that means something. And so you know, I wouldn't, I don't want Shambor to start right now. But if he had to, I wouldn't feel bad about it. This is how I, this is how I sum it up. Is that how you feel, you think?
And that's how I feel, yeah.
I wouldn't feel bad. I don't want it to happen. I just, you know, I wouldn't hate it. Yeah, but good stuff by him. Good job by him. Good job by Mason Fine. I really would have liked to have seen some of those D balls completed. I don't think North Texas really has what it takes, obviously, at that point in time, to upset Iowa. That was a little bit of a surprise to me. And a lot of it came down to luck. And I think a different team, maybe next year's team, put in the same situation, capitalizes on the circumstances better. I just don't think they were ready to execute that kind of thing. They're not a complete team yet. They're improved, not a complete team.
I don't think the O-line's ready yet either. I know you're saying that Fine wasn't running around for his life, but on those passes he wasn't completing, he wasn't comfortable in the pocket. But that pass to Turner Smiley, you see him drop back and at the top of his drop back release, and it's a great pass. So if he's got more time, especially with Conference USA teams that don't have the linebackers or the defensive line that Iowa has, I think we'll have a little bit more success.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we've got to remember, it's kind of stupid to say, but we got to remember that we're talking about a sophomore, true sophomore quarterback. And there are very few true sophomore quarterbacks that you're just like, yeah, this guy needs to be a lot more important than you expected. You know, this is all good. He's not like who were the quarterbacks for the Texas and USA game? A couple of like, was a true sophomore, Darden, was it Darden? I can't remember the guy's name. The USC guy and then the Texas guy. Those are good quarterbacks, and you see them making mistakes. And, you know, a lot of times during the broadcast, they're like, oh, you know, sophomore quarterback, or he's making mistakes, but look at that talent. We got to apply some of that same thinking to Mason Fine. He's a true sophomore quarterback. He's made a lot of improvements. When you see him making mistakes, don't say, oh, well, you know, he's got to be better because he's had lots. Yeah, but he's still a true sophomore quarterback. He still hasn't seen the breadth of college football. But I will say that in two games against pretty decent competition, that being Florida last year and Iowa this year, he's availed himself well. He's stood tall. He doesn't get rattled. It looks like he's willing to play, willing to compete. If you take his stats, it doesn't knock you out. You're not super excited about it. But, again, I think you have to consider circumstances.
Yeah, I hate this term, but he's a gamer. I like watching him play.
Yeah, I mean, he's fun. He's out there. He's willing to play. You know he's going to try to make a play. And, you know, I was talking about this at work. Again, these conversations at work. Once upon a time, when I was playing rec league soccer, it was when I was getting into soccer. This is kind of an aside. It's going to be short. Just please don't fast forward. We're playing rec league soccer, and it was a draw. And there was like a shootout. And so it was indoor soccer. It was like a penalty kick. And they were like, all right, who's on your team going to take it? I had just started playing soccer. I was not good. So best player on the team, I was thinking, obviously, he's going to take it, right? But he wanted no part of it. Like, he was looking around for anybody else to take the kick. And this is like rec league soccer. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, how are you afraid of this right here? I didn't understand it. And, you know, I used that. You know, I was talking about this. And the other guy was talking about, he was talking about some other guy in his high school basketball team was similar. You know, it's not just a universal quality that people are just willing to step up, just, you know, play and be in a moment. And so you have to appreciate a guy that is willing to step up and play, because it is a big deal. You know, the situation he stepped into last season and then even this season, right? It's big moments. And it's big time stuff, and it looks like he's not scared. He's never scared, this kid. And yeah, he's a gamer. I appreciate what he brings to the table. And on top of all that, I even more appreciate his accuracy. He's a lot more accurate this season. On the deep stuff,
for sure.
Yeah, that really opens up the offense. You can see it. Everything else is open once we're able to hit a couple to Smiley, or even just threaten. Just look down the field and you see Jalen Guyton running free. That changes the defense's opinion about everything. So good stuff.
It helps everybody on offense.
Yeah. So we're about 20 minutes in. Let's talk about the upcoming opponent. And I guess all that means, the University of Alabama, Birmingham Blazers. How do you feel?
Shout out to UAB on Twitter. They're actually pretty fun. all of them. All three of them that I know of.
Yeah.
They good follow, and they write good articles out there.
Yeah. Daily Dragon is a long time follower. There was, once upon a time, I think before we got into Conference USA, there was a site, like a fan site, that did like web stuff. I don't know if it's some of the same guys or, maybe some people did it and that inspired them. I don't know what the deal was, but like UAB has always had a good little group of internet people, and I do appreciate that. They're passionate about their stuff. So it's good to see that, because nobody cares about Rice, maybe a little bit UTEP, but they're 800 miles away, and nobody, by the time you're driving out there and you get to Fort Stockton or whatever, you kind of lost all your passion. You're just like, hopefully I find water and food and civilization on the way out here, So, somebody just tweeted at me, what a great drive right before half to give you an TLD at halftime. Look at this guy being on the money. So timely, this tweet. UAB is fun. Their team, you were scared of their team. You were like shivering in your boots when we did the preview season pick 'em. You're like, oh, I don't know, Alabama, Birmingham, they got 22 players. They're going to be on the field at any given time. How do you feel now? Are you still scared of them?
There's a little bit of hyperbole.
I like how you don't respond to me just talking all kinds of mess to you. You're just, they're still good.
I don't have a fear. Yeah. They're just a shotgun team, and they sprinkle in their run first shotgun team with wishbones sprinkled in.
Yeah.
I think they'll be a really good team in a couple of years, but they're not there just yet.
Yeah. I don't really know what to think about it. They won 38-7 in their home opener against Alabama A&M. Okay. Every Conference USA team that it's worth anything has beaten an FCS team pretty badly. Like, we beat Lamar. I think FIU won against somebody. Was it Southern Miss beat somebody down? FAU beat somebody down. Like, it's kind of what happens. We don't really learn too much about them, because then the next week they're terrible. They lost to Ball State. I don't know how good Ball State is. They're like another one of those teams that you're like, yeah, every 5 years they're okay.
I actually watched the Ball State game. Ball State's not explosive. They kind of just grind it out, march it down the field. Mm-hmm. UAB was hanging in there at the first half, just running the ball, and they didn't have an answer for UAB's wishbone offense. And then in the second half, the wheels came off, and UAB just lost discipline. There were tons of holding calls, a lot of fumbles, and Ball State capitalized on every single one of those mistakes.
So then finally we have Coastal Carolina. Last week they won 30-23 in a game that Coastal Carolina was favored in. This was at home. I thought that was interesting that Coastal Carolina was favored. What are they? They're like the Chaparral. I forget what they're called. It's like a complicated name. You tweeted the attendance difference. 45,000 people in the home opener, and only 24,000 in the follow up a couple weeks later. I feel like if we played this game in Birmingham, things would be different, and I'd be a little bit more scared. I'd be like you, shaking in my boots. I'd have to buy boots, and I'd be in them, and I'd shake in them. I just feel good about being at home in Denton. I think the trip from Alabama to North Texas is a significant one, significant enough. where you kind of lose your comfort. And I think road games are tests for everybody. And I think North Texas just has enough. I think we're like, 10-point favorites or something like that. And that's about what I see this game, like 34-24 or something like that. I think UAB is going to score, and it may even be kind of close. We may even be down for a little bit. We're like, oh, shit. We might have an Iowa situation, but reversed. But I feel like we just have a little too much experience together. And that's really the difference. Like, UAB is a unique situation. I call them an FCS startup on steroids or FBS startup on steroids because, like, they've had to deal with the same kind of thing where you're recruiting guys for some future state, and you're kind of like, it's going to be great, trust me. But also, they have established history, and, you know, they have former NFL players. You know, you got like a Roddy White that you can just point to right there. You know, and a good coach. All that's kind of weird. So I feel like they're probably going to be good in a couple years, next year maybe. But they haven't played together. That's a big thing. Like, the experience that all these guys on our side had last year playing together obviously helped. You can see how much better Mason Fine is after a year playing in the system. And I think that's really the difference between these two teams right now. So does that make sense? Do you buy that?
Yeah. Yeah, I buy it. I think as long as we stick to our game plan and it's, you know, give Jeffrey Wilson 12 or 14 carries and pass it to him 4 or 5 times,
yeah,
we should win the game.
Yeah, I think, you know, former podcaster Greg was tweeting at me and saying, yeah, we got to get better, like moving up and down the field and executing our offense. To me, and I agree with him, to me that means short yardage things. I tweeted out an article, like a blog post I wrote on like the breakdown of some of the things I saw in the SMU game. Now, again, I don't want to talk about 2 weeks ago in too much, but a lot of people were saying, well, you know, I can't believe our offense sucks. We just got to throw deep more. So I looked at it. I was like, what was happening? And I liked what we saw. I liked what we did there against SMU. We didn't get to show too much of that against Iowa, but we'll be able to do more of that against UAB, I think. And we're executing the offense. Like, we're getting the ball to playmakers across the middle. That's Jalen Darden. Hopefully that dude is healed up. I know there's a question about him.
Yeah, I really hope so, because then our UAB has a weakness at special teams, and I feel like Darden would be the person to exploit that.
Yeah. But yeah, he looks like the most dangerous slot receiver we have. We throw it to him, he can make a move. I like what Mike Lawrence brings to the table, but it's more like he's going to catch it and fall down. He's like Jason Witten. That's basically what Jason Witten is now for the Cowboys. Now, you throw it to him, and he like rumbles down slowly.
I was going to say Kenny Byers from last year, just, you know, a reliable player to throw it to if you need to move the sticks.
Yeah, well, I don't want to say that Mike Lawrence is falling down, but that's all Mike Lawrence has done so far is catch the ball and then go down. Maybe he'll break a tackle. Kenny Byers broke a tackle. I'm a Kenny Byers fan, man. Don't knock Kenny Byers. He played corner and receiver.
Hey, I wasn't knocking. but yeah, I think it's the Mason Fine factor is gonna
be the difference, you think?
Show it's yeah, I think so. Because, you know, on that pass to Turner Smiley, if you watch, Jeffrey Wilson's going out for a swing pass and Mason Fine doesn't even look Jeffrey Wilson's way. He just, at the drop back, he just releases it for Smiley and you know, lets Smiley make the play.
I agree.
He doesn't back down.
No. I think it was cool to see a lot of people watch North Texas because, you know, we're so close to the team. We watch them all the time. We think about it all the time. We podcast about it. We write about it. So I think we have a different perspective on everything. So it's interesting to see, you know, other fans. And I think Daily Dragon does a good job of kind of being pretty thorough about another team. It's interesting to see their view of, you know, our favorite little team. And, you know, everybody's pretty impressed by Mason Fine and pretty impressed by our offensive line, pretty impressed by our defensive line. Now, we know, you know, the board knows, anybody that follows this team closely knows that we have questions about all three of those groups, right? You know, we don't, just a lot of people that don't fully trust Mason Fine, and I think there are some outstanding questions about them. You know, can he continue to complete those things across the middle? Can he continue to stand tall and throw the ball accurately down the field? Can the offensive line give him time? Can they open up, you know, can they move guys out of the way on short yardage? And can the defensive line sustain this success that they've had? Open questions, fair questions, I think. But it's good to see the good, you know, that someone like, wow, that defensive line's really getting in there and stopping Iowa. That was pretty good, you know. So we should take that into consideration and maybe not be so overly analytical sometimes. At least for me, it's been good.
Yeah. Yeah, the defensive line, I got to give them a lot of credit. I didn't expect them to perform to the level that they have been performing.
Yeah.
And then the stats have been showing. We were talking about the, what's it called? The Football Study Hall stats. And they had the defensive line havoc rating was at 77, which is, you know, about average, but it's way better than it was last year, at any point last year.
Yeah, like Andy Flusher was like in the backfield throwing dudes around. Like he pushed a couple of the Iowa dudes like all the way into the backfield, like 3-4 yards back. Good stuff all around there. I feel like they're gonna do that to UAB. Again, I'm not scared about it. I think, you know, this season I've been talking about, you know, playing at a level. I think what UAB does well is play consistently. Like, I don't think they're too much up and down. And so, I mean, you look at like a, like North Texas, we like to say that we're inconsistent. And I think you can get a glimpse of this kind of thing if you look at, like, you know, speaking of Football Study Hall, if you look at like what is it? There's a column there for about like percentage, your chance of winning if you, given the way you play it, right? And it kind of goes up and down. It's like, you know, 50%, 13%, you know, 75%, 1%, you know. And UAB's is pretty consistent there in their three games that they played. You know, even the one they lost, it was like 34-45%, something like that. What does that mean? You're just throwing numbers at me, Adam. It seems like UAB is a well-coached team, and they play pretty consistent. And if they had more talent or better execution, more time together, they'd probably bump that up a little bit. I think our struggle is in our consistency, and it's a very real possibility that North Texas comes out and lays an egg. We've seen that happen, right? We've seen it. Think about that UTEP game last season. Mm-hmm. We had everything, you know, lined up for a big moment, and they came out and laid an egg. Think about that UTSA game, right? Same kind of deal. Mason Fine came out and turned the ball over 3 times. That was terrible. The team turned the ball over 4 times. So I'm not, like, just looking past this game or thinking, it's going to be a blowout, or trying to figure out the number that we're going to score, like I did with Lamar, where I was like, we're probably going to go score 60, I said, as I was walking into the stadium to everybody I saw. But, you know, so it could happen. UAB could come out and jump all over them if they're not ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we just need to be careful with the wishbone, which I don't think it'll be that big of a deal, because we played Army last season twice. We're going to play them again twice probably this season. And when UAB runs the wishbone, they're doing one of two things. It's a QB run or a handoff. There's no tossing or anything like that. The other two tailbacks are just lead blockers. What killed Ball State for a while was the run pass option, where it was the fake handoff to the running back, and then the quarterback would just run in for three whole touchdowns in one game. So we need to watch out for the quarterback run.
Yeah, Erdley, he's a big dude. And I was writing about this to the Daily Dragon guys. I wanted to do a Q&A. So on the lookout for that. What I'm concerned about, I guess, if a concern is the word, is that UAB has a big, tall, mobile quarterback. And if you look back at, like, things that give us trouble, it's big, tall, mobile quarterbacks, or even just mobile quarterbacks, really. UTSA's Dalton Sturm, who's not really big, but he's mobile, and he's tough, and he's hard to bring down. He gave us trouble. He was able to find a play, you know, get out of a tackle, get out of a sure sack, and find a play. enough because we sacked him a bunch of times. But he was able to get, you know, make a play enough times to help seal the game. Matt Davis, obviously, everybody remembers that hell that we all went through. So that it kind of concerns me a little bit. And was it Stealing, the guy from Rice?
I was going to mention him too.
He was pretty elusive in that game. The game we won in overtime and all that good stuff, but let's not forget that Rice was up 17, and Rice came back to tie the game and scored a 2-point conversion. They drove like the whole field, you know what I'm saying?
And I think part of it has to do with Reffitt's attacking style. It can expose you quite a bit here and there.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's bring numbers. Right on third down, especially, after two excellent, we're pretty stellar on the first and second on standard downs. The numbers even say it. My eyes have been telling me this the whole time. It goes back to last year. Great on first down, right? Great on second down. All right, we got third and 13, and Ben Hicks just tosses it up to Cortland Sutton, and he breaks a tackle and runs 60 yards for a touchdown. Oh, you know, we are pretty terrible on third down. Iowa beat us on a couple third downs, and they beat us on a couple fourth downs. We're really not good at getting off the field. And like you said, some of that scheme, some of that's because we say, hey, you're on an island, Kimon Hall, Nate Brooks, you're on an island, or even Kyrie Muhammad, who's been good too. Like in the times we put him out there, he's been good on those islands, but they also haven't been, and also sometimes busted coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think UAB has enough to, like, are you scared of that, dude? Do you look at the receivers and you're like, that dude's going to get loose on third down and kill us?
I mean, occasionally we might see it happen a handful of times, but it's not going to be enough to win the game. If they win the game, it's because they ran all over us. They get, 200 to 300 yards rushing and the quarterback gets 3 touchdowns.
I think that's a good point. If you look at last season, the games that we lost was like, we just got out talented, and you can point to Florida, you can point to Louisiana Tech, and you can point to Western Kentucky. They just completely outmatched us. And the other games that we lost, it's that we didn't execute enough, and they were able to execute better than we could by controlling the ball, controlling the clock. That was UTSA. They had a good running game, and they had enough offense to beat us. That was Army, ran for 400 yards against us, and they played a little bit of the same strategy that Iowa did, right? Except with their triple option. You remember, Army went for it on fourth down in the bowl game to win the whole thing. That's what we should fear. And then obviously UTEP just ran all the way over us. Their tight end was breaking tackles. That was just a weird game. Those are the games we lose, right? So UAB has the ingredients to beat us. They can control the ball. They have a little funky offense and can keep us off balance. We can't just key on something the way we could against Army or the way we could against, like Marshall. Like Marshall didn't really have a run game, and they were kind of a weird situation. Southern Miss last season had a questionable quarterback. Keon Howard was the new guy, and he was turning the ball over, and we can kind of focus on that. We're like, he's not going to be able to throw the ball that well. So I don't know if we have that here in UAB. I don't know if there's like, they're going to do this and we can stop them. It's like they do a little mixed bag of things. That's a little bit concerning. They might have enough talent. They might have the right ingredients to kind of wiggle free and get some first downs that could maybe cause some problems for us. There you go. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, they're a run-first team. They get a whole bunch of yards on the ground. They're a little bit undisciplined, and they need a little bit more experience. So if we can take advantage of that, which we failed to do last year in a lot of games, we should be able to win it just fine.
There you go. We should be able to win it just fine. I'm saying all this stuff, and then I feel like, you know what? Jeff Wilson's going to run for like 200 yards against him. And Mason Fine's going to throw for 257 yards and 3 touchdowns, and we're going to walk all over him. I hope that we whoop the hell out of him. I was tweeting this, and somebody's like, oh my God, look at the bulletin board material. I remember when they beat us, when they ended the freshman sensation's little mini run there. They whooped, it was like 54-17 or something like that. I hope we do the same thing to them. I hope we beat them so bad that they maybe consider quitting football again. Like one of those trustees that shut them down is like, you know what? I was right. I was right. We should shut them down. Let's get that money back into Nick Saban's pocket.
I told y'all.
Yeah. I hope he's like, yeah, I was right. I hope all that happens. I hope we beat him so bad that Bill Clark is like, man, I waited like 3 years of my coaching career for this. For this right here, we're getting whooped. I hope all that happens. I hope, you know, we see Roddy White tweet about it. Like, oh, my God, what was that? That was worse than watching Atlanta lose to New England. Like, I hope he tweets that. You know what I mean? I hope it's that bad. Like, it's 79 to negative 3, you know? I hope that happens. And, you know, I'll virtually, digitally shake their hand and be like, well, tough loss. Yeah, we had a loss one time. But, you know, I hope we embarrass them.
Nothing personal.
No, it's not personal. It's more like revenge. It's football revenge. And I was thinking about that later. What teams do you, Mr. Avina here, like wish that you could beat? Like, you look at the schedule and you're like, oh, you know what? I just want to beat that team. Not like SMU. A rivalry. Yeah, the ones remaining. I know SMU now. But the
ones remaining, I mean, I guess people want me to say UTSA.
And you don't have to. Don't feel pressure. Like for me, it's UAB because of that one. I'm like, you know what? That's been bothering me, everyone. I didn't realize that's been bothering me, but I'm like, not only beat them, but like beat them. You know what I mean? Like beat them down.
I'm gonna say Army.
Army, that's a good one. See, but I don't really feel sports hate for Army. And I also feel it feels kind of weird.
I'm like, it's not sports hate, but you came to our house,
yeah,
and you took the bowl game away from us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can understand that. Maybe when Army Week was it that in November, maybe I'll feel that way. And I don't know. Just be like, God.
I mean, I want to be UTSA because, I mean, we're down 1-3 in the win-loss column. And I want to beat UTEP because they whooped us the past 3 years. But it's not going to feel as good as whooping Army.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I feel like the other way. I was like, I want to just beat UAB. I just want to exactly – I feel like there needs to be balance in the universe. And that's why we need to do that. UTSA, I kind of just want to win. But, like, I probably should change this post that I wrote. Because I feel like it's more like we have to defend home field, you know, because we're 1-1 in Apogee. And, you know, that one win was kind of nice, but it was awful because it was our only win. And it was more like relief. And UTSA was so bad that was the only team that we were going to beat. Just everything was just kind of like, thank God it happened.
Yeah. Relief is a good word.
Yeah, but, you know, like, I feel like this year we got to win. But, like, next season, when North Texas comes down to the Alamo Dome and plays there, I feel like what I'm going to want is North Texas to win by 87 points there. Like, that's what I want. Like, here I'm just like, we just need a win. Let's get 30-27 win. I'll be happy. But next season, it needs to be, like, a complete dismantling.
Annihilation.
Yeah, where like people are just streaming out at halftime, like that kind of thing. Like there's like, oh my God, where so much where we make Don Harris, the play-by-play guy, like remember that he went to North Texas, and he's like, you know, actually, I actually went to North. You know, like when he switches allegiances. That's that bad. You know what I mean? That's for next season. So I'll save that. I'll put that in my wish box, I guess. Is that a
just
thing?
Write it down, fold it up, and then insert it.
Yeah, mail it to myself. do not open until October 2018. Yeah. So
XOXO.
Yeah. That's how I feel. I mean, you know, like, I guess it's not even going to feel good beating UTEP. Like, last couple of seasons, like, I guess in the recent past, I wanted this kind of beat down for, like, Louisiana Tech and a little bit of Rice. But, like, I mean, it feels like you're picking on a little kid now when you beat Rice or UTEP because they're so bad.
That should have been the case last season.
Yeah, it should have been. And that's the problem with this conference. You're like, oh, this team sucks. And you're like, oh my God, we're down by 30 to this team. That sucks.
We all suck.
Yeah, everybody sucks in this conference. I mean, we're kind of running towards the end of this thing. I don't want to keep everybody up too late tonight or bother anybody with this super long podcast. So let us quickly go through last week in the conference and discuss a little bit about it. Do you care how these teams are ranked? Have you been doing that, the team rankings?
I really don't care, but I think La Tech still has been from the preseason and still is maintaining.
Yeah.
Barely maintaining number one.
Yeah, I've seen a wide range of reactions to what is the team, like out of the top-ranked team. If nobody cares, but I ranked it like Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky, Southern Miss, Middle Tennessee, and I think ODU, then like UTSA, then us, right? And then like UAB. I think I put us like 8 or 9. The thing is, like, I'm not super impressed by UTSA because I'm like, you know, you look at their schedule, you're like, well, they whooped up on Southern. Like, they had an injured quarterback. They were playing a freshman QB. They're an FCS team. They had multiple injuries. Like, what did we learn from there?
If you make exceptions to North Texas whooping up on Lamar, why are we not making exceptions about UTSA whooping up on Southern?
Yeah, exactly. So then you say, okay, well, who else did they play? They played Baylor. That's a Power 5 win. They're so good. I'm like, so did Liberty beat them, and so did Duke. Like, Duke handled them easily. Like, Baylor is very bad. They are very, very bad. And I think you roll Western Kentucky in there, they beat Baylor. Louisiana Tech beats Baylor. Maybe even Southern Miss and Middle Tennessee beat Baylor. I just don't think Baylor's very good. We didn't learn very much. And it's not even knocking UTSA. I'm just saying we don't know too much about that team.
It's still a question mark.
Yeah. Some people were putting them second. I keep them down below, basically where they started. Louisiana Tech, they beat Western Kentucky at Western Kentucky. That's a big win. It was an ugly win. I think it maybe says more about Western Kentucky than it does Louisiana Tech. Mike Sanford is not Jeff Brohm. That's what we learned. Jeff Brohm's over at Purdue. And I think
I tried to tell y'all.
He's a good coach. And I think he's gonna pull an upset this weekend. I'm gonna say it right now.
Who are they playing?
The Michigan. Play Michigan. I don't think Michigan's that good. And I think Jeff Brohm has something for him. I think he's gonna pull an upset. I just feel it. I feel it in my bones. And it's kind of a win for maybe sort of Conference USA. Like, oh man, Conference USA has some pretty good coaches there. That's how I feel. So Western Kentucky lost 22-23 at home. I think they lost last season, but they ended up winning. They lost this game, and they ended up winning the conference title. Western Kentucky could very well turn it around. I still put them high up because they have a quarterback. They have the players. They just kind of need to figure out with the new staff. And that may be too much to ask, but I definitely don't see Southern Miss overtaking them. Is Southern Miss better than Western Kentucky? And why? Because what? They have Ito Smith?
Yeah, I wouldn't put them over that. Middle Tennessee has been struggling, but everybody's injured on that team.
Yeah.
They beat Syracuse.
Yeah, and that was good. That was when they had their quarterback and Richie James. And then this last game, they lost to Minnesota, and they didn't look competitive at all. It was 20-3 at halftime, and it ended 34-3. And Stock still like has a broken chest. He has a cracked sternum. Yeah, so it's like, I don't know if you should rely on that guy.
I think Richie James got injured.
Yeah, he got injured in the Minnesota game. And so then why are we afraid of them? We saw what happened last year when they lost Stockstill. They looked terrible. So now they look terrible. So there you go. Old Dominion, I think they're kind of revealing themselves to be a one-hit, one-year wonder. They had their good year. They got to restock. It's not happening for them this year. And this is a great year for North Texas to get Old Dominion, especially at home in Denton. You were afraid of Old Dominion too, weren't you?
Definitely was afraid of Old Dominion. I can admit to that. There's nothing to add to that.
There is nothing to add to that. Who else do we have? Who else do we have on this list here? I think Charlotte's terrible. Sorry, I was looking around for the scores. I was trying to remember who's in Conference USA. There's 85 teams in this conference. Charlotte's terrible. They will remain terrible. I don't see them. They lost to North Carolina A&T. Who is North Carolina A&T? Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the quarterback for Charlotte used to play at North Carolina A&T, and now he's like, oh my God, what the hell? They were not even close in this one. Florida Atlantic had played Bethune-Cookman. They won easily. That doesn't tell us anything. Marshall beat Kent State. Kent State is terrible.
Well, let's back up for a second.
Okay.
Florida Atlantic scored 45 points.
Against Bethune-Cookman.
Against Bethune-Cookman, sure, but they could have scored 20-something points, 30-something points. They haven't been in, and they haven't necessarily been an explosive offense. And I think we got to give them a little bit of credit.
I get your point there. I think there's going to be wrong. I think Florida Atlantic's going to be good eventually. They have too many good offensive coaches to not be good. And you got to remember that Lane Kiffin has won things like with his coaching staff. He's not terrible. He's controversial, but he's not terrible. He's not a terrible coach. They're going to be good. I don't think they have the pieces in place to do the things that he wants to do. But yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, 45 points for FAU. It was against Bethune-Cookman, but there you go. And I guess maybe case in point, Marshall scored 21 against a terrible Kent State team. Didn't allow Kent State to score, but I'm unimpressed by this victory because it's not 1997, and 21-0 victories are not really that impressive in Conference USA. You have any thoughts about that one?
I expected them to turn it around this year. They had the number one class in the conference a couple years ago, and they're just not showing up.
No, they're not. They have, Cincinnati next? That should be interesting, but I don't believe in Marshall. They are bad. So we talked about UT San Antonio, as it's written here. Southern Miss beat University of Louisiana Monroe University. And 28-7, I was unimpressed by that one. I still am unimpressed by Quadra Gigs. Is that his name? Is it Quad or Cod?
I don't know.
Yeah. I got in trouble for forgetting his name today by the Southern Quadra. Quadra Griggs. I got in trouble.
Do you think we beat them on the road?
No, I still think they're a little bit better than us in all the other areas. But I think that could be. If we were playing in Denton again, I think maybe we can pull that one off. But shrug. I still think there are questions at quarterbacks, despite what everybody that tweeted at me today related to Southern Miss said.
He's not bad.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, man, he threw for 700 yards. I'm like, all right, take out the FCS totals there. He's thrown for a lot of yards. I'm like, yeah, but it's only 53% passing. A lot of their offense, like play action, chuck it up to Alonzi Staggers. We remember what happened last year. Their bad quarterback threw interceptions to us. So if, they want to complete 53% passing, I think it's fine. I think Nate Brooks can stay with Alonzi Staggers. He did last season. And that's everything. Rice is terrible. They lost to Houston. Florida International and Indiana were canceled. So not too much there. This week, just really quickly running through these. Old Dominion, Virginia Tech, that we're not going to learn anything there. Louisiana Tech, South Carolina, that might be interesting. We'll see how good Tech is. Georgia State is probably going to beat Charlotte because Charlotte's terrible. Obviously, the UAB North Texas game, I think it's going to separate those two teams. We'll see how good we are. We'll see how good UAB is going to be. Florida Atlantic and Buffalo, I don't know. That's a weird one. I don't know how good Buffalo is this season.
I have no idea.
Bowling Green and Middle Tennessee. I say Middle Tennessee should win this game, even though they ain't got a quarterback. I'm prepared for anything with that team right now. Western Kentucky and Ball State. That should answer some questions. If this game were played on a week that was not a UAB North Texas week, we would use this to kind of measure North Texas a little bit, measure UAB. But we're going to find out how good Ball State is while we find out how good UAB is, so this doesn't really tell us too much. Florida International, are they better than a terrible Rice team in Houston?
Yes.
Houston will have 7 fans there, so it's going to be a glorified practice. The eeriness of an empty stadium, I think, gets to you.
I think it'll be reminiscent to the time we played FIU at home. It'll be like 14-10 or whatever.
An ugly, ugly game. Texas State hosting UTSA. I don't know why. Sometimes today, UTSA is a 13.5-point favorite, and I don't think that is very much over a Texas State team that was very terrible last season. So I'll say this: I think Texas State is going to give them a game. I don't think it's going to win. I think they're going to give them a game. Maybe they cover the spread, but I'm not really talking about that. I think UTSA feels they're real good. I think their fans feel like they're real good. Everybody's ranking them second in the conference. I think this game's going to bring them back down to earth a little bit. It's their first game where they're going to play somebody that's, you know, coached well. Like, not spiraling downward, not in the injury crisis, and completely out-talented.
I think UTSA is going to whoop up.
I don't see it, man. That's in San Marcos, so that should be interesting. And then UTEP and New Mexico State. New Mexico State got handled last season by UTEP. It was a pretty big blowout. I think Aaron Jones ran for lots of yards. I think New Mexico State is going to beat UTEP, and maybe another guy is going to get fired. UTEP, already firing people. I think it just, you know.
You're fired.
We're not scoring, you're fired. We're not defending, you're fired. That's what's going to happen next. And then I guess somebody's going to eventually fire Sean Coogler. I specifically asked the dude, how good is your squad this year? And he's like, you know, I like our quarterbacks, our offense is good, we just get people step up. Yeah, none of that's happening, guy. They're losing. There you go. Conference USA is terrible. North Texas is going to beat UAB this weekend. Yeah.
And I will be there. It'll be glorious.
You doing any tailgating? Where should they find you, I guess, out there by the...
If the kids allow and we go out tailgating, we're usually over by Tony's tailgate, the Gomeen Green tailgate. It just happened, funny story, I just started tailgating there a few years ago, was on the board, and then later on figured out that who they were. I was like, oh.
That's kind of how it happens. It's weird. The internet's weird. It's cool, but it's also very, very weird. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening live. I see some people on here. I've been trying to peek at how many people have been listening. Thanks, you crazy people, for staying up real late to talk about North Texas football. And, you know, Gomeen Green.
Gomeen Green.